Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Well, I have prayed for a move of God in this place today. I don't know what you expect, but I expect God to move in this place. I already feel His presence. I just drove in from Winchester. We had two morning services there, so this is my third time to preach today. So I'm already in the flow. I hope that you're not in a hurry today, because I have a lot of things in my heart. I don't know exactly which path we are going, but in a moment I will show a video about our work in Ethiopia, and that will show one part. As you can hear, I'm not American. In Europe, they say, "Oh, you speak with such an American accent." When I come to America, I can't open my mouth before, "Oh, where are you from?" But you see, I handle four different languages. But I met my wife, my Ethiopian wife. I met her in Sweden 30-something years ago. Time is running. And we celebrated 29 years of marriage just recently, by the way. But when I found out that she have a great story from Ethiopia, she's born in a very poor family, and she was given away as a four-year-old to be a house worker. Long story, but I will make it short. You know Cinderella? Two of you? You know Cinderella, right? Yeah, that's her. She grew up from 4 years old till 15 year old as a non-paid domestic worker. Cinderella story, then you know who I am as well. So it took some time, but all right, I can't stop myself. When I learned her story, how God had restored her, the best psychiatrists in Sweden said that she's a hopeless case. She will never be able to have a job or a full-time job or raise a family or anything. But you see, I mean, it would take too much time to tell her story. But God did an outstanding miracle when she's 15 years old and brought her from those circumstances there, brought her to a loving family in Sweden. And God had to interfere, perform a miracle on her soul so she could forgive and she could let go of the hatred and bitterness. About 6 years later, we met, and God gave us this vision: reach the unreached and help the helpless. And that's what we are doing right now. We go out on this great crusades and revivals, and we see hundreds of thousands of people coming to the Lord. Every year we count between 80, 90 up to 150,000 people. We have lived in Africa for 15 years now. And about 2 months ago, we transferred to Sweden for a while. We'll see how long time there will be, but it gives me a little more opportunity to travel and do more commercial about the work and fundraising and so on and so forth. We also have, I just came in from Bolivia 2 weeks ago. Had two fantastic crusades in Bolivia. I met Pastor John, and he gave me a vehicle, and I've been around here for 2 weeks, and tomorrow morning I'm flying home. I'm ready for that. But we have a very intensive coming time. The fall semester is full, having a crusade in Ethiopia in October and in December, and one crusade in Ghana as well. And we have another 5 crusades in Ethiopia in the spring semester. We started up a Bible school in Zambia, and we're going to have a crusade in Zambia in the end of the spring semester. So we keep ourselves busy, but God is good, and He gives us a great fruit in the kingdom of God. Too much to say, but we have a saying in Sweden that a picture says more than 1,000 words. Do you have it here as well? I have a few minutes video. We'll say it all.
I'm Parachrist, and this is Joshua Campaign Ethiopia.
When the time were fulfilled, when the time were fulfilled, God sent forth His Son into the world to redeem those who were under the law. Jesus came to this earth. He came as God, here of Jubilee.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! At this time, you can be free. At this time, you can call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus will set you free.
Everyone, that you are not sure. Worry, so you can say that if you die right now, you will go to heaven. Come.
In the name of Jesus,
the time is today.
I
will
be every sickness, every disease, in the name of Abba, I speak to you, Satan.
Every disease, touch my nose. Get out.
This church planting movement, and here I'm standing together with some of the core leaders of the new started denomination called the Love of God Covenant Church. This is Pastor Belai, which is the president and the main person of all these church plants. In 3 years we have started 43 new churches. We have adopted 44 churches. So all together we have today 87 churches. And on any given Sunday, we gather about 25,000 people, mostly in the remote areas of Ethiopia. As you can see, God is moving in our ministry. Thousands of souls being saved and the power of God manifested. However, we are needing additional sponsors to help us complete the assignment God given us. Can you find in your heart to support this ministry? $1 per day, or maybe $2 per day, $30 or $60 per month, and that will help us tremendously. Thank you for whatever you can do to help us move this work of God forward. Please contact me, Parachrist, on email, per@joshuacampaign.com. Yes. Thank you so much. On top of this soul winning ministry and church planting, we also run my wife's ministry called Family Mercy House. And actually, this church was a part of the first few years. We celebrated 10 years now recently, and this church was a part of the first 3 years, 3 or 4 years, as a startup of that ministry. Thank you so much for that. Later on in this service, I will hand over the microphone to Pastor, and you have an opportunity to be a part of send us out again, of filling the tank, or being a monthly partner. We're going to take up an offering in the end of the service as well. I hope you feel ready for that. Amen? Well, praise God. Well, let me go into the Word of God. And I want to just give a little background to what I'm going to preach. And I have preached this message now for the last maybe 2 years. It's not only, but many times God has brought that up to me. Because I knew about 2 years ago that we were into a transition as a family. That we are moving, after 15 years in Africa, you get disconnected from the Western society. And we know that we had a lot of things that expired in our family at this time, at the summer of 19. So we were looking forward for a transition. And within that transition, I know that God always have a prophetic step. I mean, God is not something that just, work in the supernatural and is disconnected from the natural. God works so much within the natural and the supernatural. And in the natural, we can find God interference. Are you with me, what I'm saying? And when I start to ask and seek the Lord, I really felt how God spoke to me and added not just the mission field, so to say. He also added this, the Swedish, the European, and the American society. The Western society was popping out of this scripture, and the church of the Western society became so alive on the inside in my heart. I better read the scripture so I can continue, right? Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. It says, the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry. And this was something that popped out just, it just stood out from the scriptures and dropped into my heart. And I saw the American church. I saw the Swedish, the European church, the Western church. I saw how a desire comes from within our spirit to see more of the glory of God. You see, we are the body of Christ, and we are connected worldwide. What God does in Africa, in South America, in the Far East, Europe, and America, we are one body. Different local expressions, but we are one body. And we are actually waiting for something really powerful to happen. We are waiting for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, to come back. Amen? That's why we have church. That's why we study. That's why we pray. That's why we are believers here today on earth. We have a goal to have as many people as possible with us into eternity. And the Bible says that one day in the end time, an archangel's trumpet will sound, the sky will split up, and we who are still alive, says the Bible, I will come more to that. We will meet him on the sky, in the skies. You see, I'm thinking like this. If Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote maybe two-thirds of the New Testament, if he were saying that he was living in the last age, come on, that's 2,000 years ago. And if he said that, we don't need to be a prophet, we don't need to be any, but just by common sense, we will understand, and we do understand, that we are living in the end of the last days. Amen? And, Paul, he was so eager to spread the gospel all over the world, and he actually thought that he should be part of the rapture. Do you following me today? He said, we who are still alive will meet him on the sky. And why could he believe that? Well, there is only one criteria. It's only one condition before Jesus going to come back. You know what that is? Till every tribe, every tongue, every people group have heard the gospel. Then Jesus will come back. And after Paul, it has taken 2,000 years. And Jesus said, I'm coming soon. I think that's, in a way, it's a good statement. Because my wife, she asked me many times, when do you come home? And I'm saying, I'm coming soon. But we are living in this time, and I do believe that God works in times and in seasons, and in this time, not just because we made a transition, but because I was seeking the Lord and I felt how God was showing me the body of Christ. We have certain parts of the world where the church calling out, God, come. We have certain parts where the church are in bondage, and they're calling out for freedom. We have certain parts of the church where we need to go and tell them, come on, cry from your heart. Call on the name of the Lord. I believe that we need to see a worldwide outpouring of the Holy Ghost, a worldwide outpouring that unite the body of Christ around the globe, where we will be ready to meet Jesus on the skies. You know, first time I got married, I was the groom. But the next time I'm getting married, I will be the bride. And there is no gender confusion. But Jesus says that he will bring his bride without spot, without wrinkle. We will be ready made for Jesus. And this is a passion that I want to add back into the American church. This is something I think we need to add back into the Western church. The church in Africa, they live in this. They say, "Oh, we are working for Jesus to come back." Amen. Come, I'm used to a little response. Are you okay? Can we push your neighbor and say amen? Tell your neighbor to say amen. I need a little response. You see, the church in Africa work like Jesus. They believe that Jesus will come back soon. You know, and I'm just feeling that maybe in this part of the world, we need to call out to the church and tell the church, it's time. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon God. He will come, because he says, isn't this good? He says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry. He listens to us. He looks at us. He He tried to get the attention of us. He listening to our cry. Hallelujah. In this context, God is looking for a deliverer of his people. The Bible says that his eyes go back and through all over the world. For with his power assists those who are devoted to him. Are you devoted to God today? Because I believe he's looking for a people. He's looking for a church that is ready to say to God, here am I, use me. Use me in the supernatural power. Use me as the oracle of God to a fallen world. Now, Moses here, he was a little reluctant. I will not have time to read through everything, but Moses, he was tending his father-in-law's sheep. And when we meet him, the Bible describes that he's in the backside of the desert. I still don't really understand where is the backside of the desert. Have you any idea about that? I don't know. But maybe that was an expression, how he felt. Because he had grown up in the castle of Pharaoh. He had grown up in the palace. He probably felt the calling of God when he walked out there and took things in his own hand and killed that Egyptian because he got zealous and he got angry and he was not really ready for going out in the calling of God. So he stepped out ahead of time. He stepped out in his flesh. He made a failure. And how many of us have made a failure? But hear what I'm trying to say today. You know what? God's gifting and God's calling, he can never ever regret. No matter what you have done, no matter what I have done, God already knew that before we did it. Still, he have bound himself to his word, and still he have said that he will use you. He will use you. The calling that God have put upon your life, no matter what you have done, no matter what failure you have done, no matter what you have not done, God will still use you because he is a graceful God. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, he will cleanse us free from all sin, that we can stand, we can walk through the up to the throne of God on the new and the living way, and we can stand before the throne of the Almighty God without feeling of sin, guilt, or shame. Amen. The calling of God that he has upon your life, my life, and the Church of America, and the Pentecostal Church of God, even Pentecostal Church of God, God cannot regret. He have a plan, he have a purpose with your and my life. Amen. So the calling were coming to Moses. He was a little reluctant and hesitant. And he said, God, I need some evidence. I need a sign. Yes, sir. God is in the sign business. I'm telling you, God wants to show who he is. Sometimes we live in our religious world and we say, well, we do our religious acts and our tradition, Pentecostal traditions. We follow our routines every Sunday, every Wednesday, our prayer group, and we just let the week after week pass by. Are you with me tonight? But I'm telling you tonight, God is in the sign business. He wants to show that he is the creator of heaven and earth. I just want to ask a question here today. If God doesn't show up, if God doesn't do what he tells us that he wants to do, why do we have church? I think it's a shame. When young people or people grow up in a Pentecostal, in a charismatic church, in any kind of church, by the way, and not seeing signs, wonders, and miracles taking place. Blind eyes to see, deaf ear to hear, lame to walk. We see them all the time in Africa. Every time we preach the gospel, miracles, signs, wonders, you name it, things happen. I want to see that in the church. I want to see that here in America. And it does happen in America as well. Moses said, do you have a sign? God says, I have signs. But let me tell you. I could tell you so many stories about signs and wonders of Africa. But let me tell you some signs and wonders of America. We are in America now. Yeah. And sometimes I don't know which country I am at. You guys have it so easy. You speak English. And most people speak English all over the world. I speak Swenglish a little bit, but... That's a combination of Swedish and English. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. Otherwise, I will pray for you that you will have the gift of interpretation. But 6 years ago, I came to Kentucky first time in my life. I've been traveling in America for 12 years. And I'm just as a side note. Come on, church. I have seen a change the last 12 years in America. And that change is not good. Come on, we need to do something about it. I do whatever I can. Are you with me? God bless both of you. How about you others? I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to complain. I'm here to encourage. But I do believe that we need to reach into that next level. There is another dimension. There is a cry from the church. God, see who we are. See where we are. Reach out. We know that your hand is not too short. Call out on the name which is above every other name. Amen. Let me tell you, I've been going around now for 2 weeks here in Kentucky. I came back to Georgetown a week ago. I was there 6 years ago, first time in Kentucky. I learned that Kentuckian is another language, by the way. But anyway, we came to that little church in Georgetown. We were 13 people, including me and my two friends. It's Wednesday night. I had a word of knowledge. I said, someone is here. You had this week diagnosed with fibromyalgia. I couldn't pronounce it at that time. I can't pronounce it now. But she understood because on Monday she had been at the doctor. And she came forward. She fell under the power of God. And I tell you, she stood up and she said, I feel fine. But last Sunday, she came up to me. She said, you know what? Do you remember? I don't remember. But she said, from that moment, I have never had any symptom left. Hallelujah. That is my God. I preached in the one church in Winchester. There was a man. He walked with a cane. He couldn't take one step without the cane. His knees were totally destroyed. He couldn't take one step without the cane. Even in his house, just turning around in the kitchen, he had a pain and he had to go with that cane. You know, when we laid our hands on him, the power of God touched him. He fell into the floor. He was more than 400 pounds at that time. But you know what? When the power of God touches his knee, he stood up with all those 400 pounds without him, on his own strength. He's throw the key away, no, the cane. And he was running back and forth right there. I was with that church just a few hours ago. Here we are. I don't know if you see it. I can show you later. The guy is down to 260 pounds, and he have never touched that cane again. God can do these things. Yeah, we applaud and we are happy when these things happen. But you know what? I believe that this should be daily things in our church. That should be people standing outside our doors, knocking, waiting for the doors to open up because the medical signs have given them up. We are living in a country where have the best medical signs in the world, the best medications, the best doctors, the most advanced hospitals and medical care in the world. In Africa, we have maybe a doctor of 200,000 people. Wow. But still, the doctors come to a point today when they're saying, we don't know what to do. They can ease the symptom, but they cannot heal the sickness. But we have a creator, the creator of heaven and earth. He can interfere. He can come with signs, wonders, and miracles. He can change people's life. Can you imagine this man in Winchester? He have a totally different life. He could not walk. Now he's out walking every day. Lost 200 pounds. Isn't that wonderful? What a good God we have. You know, that can happen every day. It doesn't need to be special occasions that we speak about what such a wonderful God we have. Because God's calling goes out to each and every one of us. The Bible says that the believer shall lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. The believer. Signs, wonders, and miracles will follow the believer. God were calling Moses, and Moses was a little intimidated. He was a little bit afraid, and he said, God, give me a sign. I need to know. And it's good. God wants to give us that. I believe God has given us all these signs. I mean, let's think about it. The healing revival in the 50s. Undeniable miracles. Undeniable wonders. Things that, but you know, that faded out. I don't think God wanted that. I think God wanted us, the body of Christ, to see what he's able to do. To see the glory of God. To see the power of God. And take it the next step. I feel like I want to revive the healing revival. I want to revive the church. I'm calling out in my heart. What do we desire? Do we desire the signs? Do we desire the wonders? Well, maybe we have to do as Moses did. I mean, he stood there. God said, what do you have in your hand? Well, I have my rod. What is the rod? The rod is just a little carved wood, a working tool, something that he used every day to lead the sheep in the desert. And God says, take that thing that you have in your hand, that you have had in every day in your hand, the work tool, and throw that on the ground. When he threw it on the ground, it turned into a snake. And then Moses got scared to death. He fled. The Bible says he fled for the snake. And isn't that just like a charismatic church? We ask for signs and wonders. We ask for God to show up. And when God show up, we get scared to death. And we says, oh, I don't want that. It didn't come as I expected. It didn't come according to my tradition. It didn't come according to what I heard my grandparents spoke about. But you see, God doesn't do things to please us. He do things to give us faith. And it's our attitude that makes the whole difference. So God says, Don't worry, Moses. Bow down and take the snake by its tail. All right, I'm thinking. First of all, I don't want to have anything to do with snakes. If I come close to a snake, I go into the other direction. I run. I don't want to be there. Huh? But if I, by any reason that I cannot find or remember or think of right now, but if I would by any reason lift up a snake, I wouldn't take it by the tail because I know what's in the other end, right? Could easily turn around and sting. But God said to Moses, take it by the tail, because he needed Moses to obey, to fully 100% trust the word of the Lord. And I believe that is the key. Because when he did it, it immediately, the Bible says, immediately it turned into a rod again. Hallelujah. God tested Moses if he was ready to obey and trust him 100%. Praise God. Do we believe in the word of God? Do we believe that what God says is the ultimate truth? Do we believe? Or do we have just a Christian tradition? That's a question. Because I want to see God manifest among us today. I want God to show up with signs, wonders, and miracles. How many want that? Yeah. I don't think you came to church just because of you're feeling that you have to show up and give your support to church. Huh? You came to church because we are hungry. Because we are hungry for a move of God. We came to church because we want to meet the Lord. The Bible says wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst. He is here right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is there a cry coming up from our hearts today? Do the Lord hear your heart today? We can fool each other. We can trick our mom and dad. We can trick others, brothers and sisters. We can stand, we can lift our hand, we can close our eyes, and we can think about the football game. We can think about the car we want to buy. We can think about the house. Oh, I praise you, God, and I'm going to build that house. But are our heart fully committed to him? And we pour out our tears, our cries, our desire. God wants to fulfill our desire. When they match the word of God, yeah, of course. But the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and all the other things. Isn't that fantastic? That little word makes all the difference. A-double-L. All. Will be added to you. Hallelujah. Brother, I forgot your name, but the guy with the beard. Not you. I said, yeah. I know I don't want to go on too long. I still haven't come through the introduction of my message, but I can come back and finish it some other time. But you see, I can't do anything else. But this is what my heart is filled of. Yeah. We maybe have, I don't want too many people up there. I just want some one or two musicians. Because I want us to seek the Lord together. Pastor Yon said, I have freedom to do whatever I want. Maybe you regret yourself. Well, because if you give me freedom, I take it. I'm not intimidated. I have seen too much. I have experienced too much. I have gone too far. I am too old to be intimidated. Because there is only one way to go. Listen, I mean, there were times in my life when I hesitated. There were times in my life when I said I didn't know if I wanted to aim on a career as a salesman and make a lot of money or being an evangelist. I chose to be an evangelist. I have gone too far. One scripture that the Lord has spoken to me for many, many times. You know, you come to a place when you doubt and you feel depressed and you feel like maybe I did some wrong decisions and why did I do this? I'm standing here. I have no money. I have nothing. Da, 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 da. And you just, you know, complain to God. And then God showed me this scripture, you know, when Jesus and the disciples. and a lot of disciples, they left him. And Jesus turned to Peter and John and asked, so what about you guys? Do you also going to leave me? And they go, Lord, to who should we go? We have gone too far. We have seen too much. We have experienced too much. Amen. How could we walk away from the presence of God when we have seen it all? When we have seen the blind eyes? Can you imagine when you walk up to somebody and their eyes are just white, blurry, like a fog in front of their eyes, and you put your hand on them and the eyes start to clear up and they say, I see 20/20 vision, and that's so wonderful. It's no magic, it's the glory of God. Can you imagine when you someone who cannot walk and you pray for the legs, and the legs grow out. I have seen up to 3 inches difference from the left to the right leg, and they have equalized, and all pain disappear. You cannot deny that. You cannot say, oh, no, I give up. I rather aim on something else. No. When you have tasted, listen, when you have tasted the Lord, when you tasted God, you recognize that He's good and you can't do anything else. It's sold out. Hallelujah. Soon, I want us to gather here. We are not so many. We will all come to the front. We will start to ask the Lord. You see, it says about the disciples. They could not stop speaking about what they've seen and what they have heard. I want us today to see, to hear, to experience the manifest presence of God. How can I say that? Because He has promised that wherever 2 or 3, He is there. And the power is in the gospel. I preach the gospel. I trust. I'm so single-minded. You know, single-minded is the opposite of being double-minded. I'm single-minded to believe that if you have a sickness, a disease, if you have a soulish wound or something, God is here to heal and touch. I believe. Before we step into the altar call, I will give the microphone to John. This is how you usually do it, I understand. can do that. We will take it up an offering later on. But don't you run away from that. Be a part of it. Invest in the kingdom of God. But right now, I would like all of us to stand up and walk up to this front. Maybe we're going to do a little different. You don't need to come and bow your knees, because I want you to be aware and see what God is doing. Maybe we can even start to fill this side here. Please come. We use the right side of the auditorium here. I don't want us to be spread out too much. I want to see how the gift of God can start to manifest. Come there. Come here. We'll fill up this area. Hallelujah. Just start to pray. Start to pray and ask the Lord to show up. Hallelujah. Let me ask one question. I know we are several, but I want to ask, how many say that you came here with a pain, with some disease, something that gives you a physical problem. You have that in your body right now. I want to see your hand. Yeah. Yeah. Now, we are a team. I'm not the preacher, I'm your coach. I want us to be, all of us to be engaged to see our level of faith increase here today. You see, that's why we want to fill the auditorium when we have services. Because the Bible says that one hit 1,000, two hit 10,000. We set up our crusades and we invest $25,000 in one crusade. Together, 50,000, 80,000 people. Why? Because faith adds to faith. And when the level of faith starts to increase, maybe even so that the gift of faith will start operate and things start to happen. We can, understand me right, some people maybe would say that it's manipulation. And yes, maybe it is, but it's positive manipulation. You can walk into a room where everybody is depressed, and you will be depressed. You can be happy. You come into a room with 20 people. Everybody sits and speaks negative about how bad everything is in the society or in this and that. And you walk in there, you are happy. In 5 minutes, you will be depressed. Am I right? Same thing works right here, right now. It doesn't have to be a very spiritual thing. It's a human thing. But it is spiritual because God have created us like that. Right? So if we have faith and we have a hunger and calling out for God together, you know, things can start to happen right now. Signs, wonders, miracles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are in a lot of different paths of our lives. But God has a way for each and every one of us. He have words, prophetic words. He have encouragement and he have healings. Sometimes I think we start to pray for people too quickly. It's not really my culture. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'm just saying. Many times in churches I have experienced that even at the first worship song when the church open up, people come and buy their knees at the altar. It's good, but I think like this. I think that when we worship God, the Bible says that we build His throne among us. God's glory will rest on our worship. So that's why I'm saying, let's give God that love. Let us love Him during our worship. That's how we can express our love to God. I don't think we should start to, maybe I'm touching some holy cows now, I don't know. But I'm just saying. I don't think we should start to pray too quickly. I think we need to work together with God and follow the instructions that God, the Bible gives us. Psalm 150 speaks about how we should praise Him and give God what He needs. He needs our worship. The bottom line, the reason why He created us as His own image was that He needed us for fellowship, to hang out with. Sometimes we treat God as a Coke machine. We put in a dollar and push a button and then we want to get what we want. Or a microwave. We are living in a fast age, but that's why I'm saying this. Let's take some time now to praise the Lord. And we don't need anything else but just some simple song. And I want you to not think about your neighbor. Just focus your heart, your mind, and tell Jesus how much you love Him. And I feel that from the moment you walked up until now, the faith level have already increased. Things going to happen soon. Hallelujah. So just let them lead us in one very simple song, some song that everybody knows. And the words is not the most important now. Just take time to stretch your heart, stretch your mind, your soul. Let your cry come up to the Lord. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.